Going to take a minute here. Good morning. I'm glad everybody was able to make it this morning on this nice Tuesday when most people are probably wanting to go out and run. What do we do here? Do we just there we go. I'm going to talk from another point of view, from a different point of view than I think most folks in this audience are familiar with, in the sense of trying to take scientific information, taking scientific data, and being able to interpret that and provide that for policymakers so they can make decisions that are really based on fact. First thing we have to remember is that policymaking is not science. Otto Bismarck said that politics is not an exact science, and that's very true. It is something that's an operation of compromise. It's an operation of taking varying interests and trying to figure out what are the abilities, what are the factors that everybody can agree on, and moving forward on those factors. It's a very inexact process, but it is a process that we use. Science, obviously, is much more determinate. It is something that has an absolute final answer to it. But it takes a long process to get to those final answers. We do know now that the sun rises and that the earth is not in the center of the universe, but for many years, for most of human existence, the earth was in the center of the universe. And it only after years of observations and technologies and theories being debated and being argued that did we come to the conclusion that the sun was at the center of the universe. So we're dealing with observations, hypotheses, gathering data, interpreting it, arguing it, before we absolutely get to the ultimate conclusion that, yes, this is absolute and this is what we consider scientific data. Certain issues, evolution, global warming, smoking. Well, for scientists, these are theories. We are barely convinced on these theories, but nevertheless, we consider them a theory. Too often, the word theory for policymakers means conjecture, that this is something that is not proven, that this is just an idea that is out there. This isn't an absolute. Whereas for scientists, it really means a plausible and scientifically acceptable principle or body of principles that we can accept. Very difficult to come forward to a state legislator or to a policymaker and saying the theory of global warming is true. Well, what do they hear? They hear it's a theory, not that it's an absolute. Is there a conflict of interest here? Well, yeah. Science is only one interest out there of many. You have the interest of the business community. You will have the interest of the regulatory community. You have the interest of groups of citizens who may be in favor of something, may be against something. Science is just simply one interest, and I don't know if everybody in the realm of science is very comfortable with that. Environmental science, and since this is sponsored by the environment section, this is something I really want to bring out, is extremely complicated. It is very difficult to come forward and say, well, absolutely, smoking causes cancer. Absolutely, this metal has led to this result. That absolutely, we can say that factory has led to your cancer. That's very difficult to come to a conclusion. We can get some theories, we can get evidence, we can get ideas, but for a policymaker that's looking for an absolute, it's very, very difficult for us to give them those absolutes because there's too many variables involved. And I think this makes it very difficult for a scientist, any scientist, no matter how well-versed they are in the subject, to come forward and say, these are absolutes, because it's the nature of science to not discuss absolutes. Policymakers' dilemmas. The public wants an answer. They want to make sure that if they ban this substance, we will no longer have this cancer. If we shut down this factory, that we will no longer have this problem. And they are not always that honest. There's a situation recently in Ohio where there was a group of citizens who said, we wanted this factory to quit emitting mercury. And they were very adamant, and they came forward, and they worked with their policymakers, and the factory came forward, and they changed their system so they are not emitting so much mercury. And they met the public's needs. The problem was, the public came back and said, well, it wasn't the mercury that was really bothering us, it was the smoke. And they said, our answers have not been solved here, because they were really trying to get rid of the unpleasantness of the smoke that the factory was producing, not the mercury. They were simply using that as an excuse. That makes it very difficult for a policymaker to answer a need out there if you are getting mixed messages. And so in that situation, science, even though it provided the answer, did not solve the problem. For business, one of their easiest answers is to say, wait till all the science comes in. We don't have all the information yet. We heard that quite often with global warming. Let's wait for all the information to come in. But as you know, we never get all the information. We never have enough information. We never have absolutes, especially in environmental, to say that this is the absolute cause of that. And it leads to a lot of problems. Lung cancer is a very good example. Some people who do not smoke get lung cancer. But we do realize that smoking is a very serious cause of that. But we do not know that it's an absolute cause, because some people who smoke do not get lung cancer. Some people who do not smoke do get lung cancer. There's not an absolute there. So there's no way we can say that banning cigarettes, limiting cigarettes, eliminating cigarettes is absolutely going to prevent all lung cancers. It'll make a big difference, but we can't say absolutely that it will cure everything. So how do we know what good science is? Well, a lot of the arguments that we hear out there is that, you don't have good science. You haven't been able to get all the information in. Good science, sound science, is science that supports your agenda. How often do you hear that from certain groups out there that they say, this is a good report because it supports this operation. This is a great report because it links this toxin to our cancers or to other situation. We hear that all the time. So it makes it very difficult to find out what is sound science and how do you define sound science. What is sound science versus what is junk science? This is what we tell policymakers good science is. The things that things to look for, that we tell them to look for, is look for information from credible sources, several sources, peer-reviewed articles. Documented methodologies, things that happen again and again, not just one time or not just a certain time that in a certain situation. Cold fusion. How many remember cold fusion from Utah a few years ago? That was going to end all our energy problems. We were going to solve everything, and the fact that the state of Utah funded this professor at the University of Utah like $100 million out of state funds to move forward with cold fusion. Well, we discovered that cold fusion doesn't work. And the taxpayers of the state of Utah lost $100 million, which is a lot of money to take out of a state budget. But the methodologies looked good. The legislature got more excited about it without really looking into how important or how the methodology was really working. Can it be replicated? And we discovered it could not be replicated. Measuring the data reliability, where the data come from, how often do we get this information put forward, and statements of cause and effect. Did this really lead to this result? How accurately can we put the link in? With cancers, it's extremely difficult. With environmental health, it's extremely difficult. We do not know if the pesticide was the cause, or if it was the fact that we had drift over from a different field, we had something in the drinking water that someone was very susceptible. We had a genetic situation here where it just so happened an abnormal number of people were genetically susceptible to a certain type of cancer. Even ones that are very exact, such as lung cancer, where we are very confident about our causes, it is very difficult to us to absolutely say with certainty that this caused that element. We always know that there's a margin of question. Questionable science. Well, is there a bias there? Who funded this? Where are the vested interests? both sides are guilty of the vested interest argument. Very clear that if you want to receive additional funding from a certain group that supports a cause, that your scientific research better come up with good answers. If you want to, as scientists, you understand that if you come up with if your results do not match with what your funders want to do, that puts you in a little bit of jeopardy. There's been evidence that 94% of authors that have come out and saying that smoking did not cause lung cancer had some connection to the tobacco industry. Well, that makes perfect sense. If they are doing research out there that supports the fact that smoking does not cause lung cancer, it's very much in the tobacco industry's interest to support that effort. If you are doing research out there that shows that lung cancer is caused by smoking, well, it's very much in the interest of groups such as the American Lung Association and folks who are against cigarettes, that yes, that is something you need to be funded, and we're going to continue your funding. So we're all subject to bias, and being able to reflect that bias and understand that bias gives us a better assessment of how effective that science is. If there are certain aspects of the science that they are ignored, if there are certain red flags, red herrings, that we have not addressed, that's another sign of poor science. And if there's the correlation between the cause and effect, if that link isn't solid, these are elements that we tell the state policymakers, look for, be aware of, because there's no one out there with absolute answers. Science is a process. It takes several studies, not a single study. It's moving. And in much aspects, I consider science as uncertain as policy. I have made up several arguments out there that says that, you know, science is always questionable, but you have to make your best decisions with the policy, with the information you have. It's the same thing with policy. You make the decision with the best information you have. You take the information and say, smoking is a problem, therefore we need to regulate cigarettes. You say that products, that children are receiving products that are toxic and it is causing a problem. We don't know all the products, but we need to make an assessment, and we make the decision based on the facts that we have. This is how we address policy. You take the interest, you take your information, you make the best decision possible. Science is a lot of times very much the same way. But too often, I think we couch science in the terms of absolutes, and it misleads policymakers. So I think what the best thing to do is to continue to work with them and remember that science is not absolute, that if you're providing information to a policymaker, provide several sources, provide credible sources, provide data that's going to give them a real clear understanding. Understand, mind you, letting them know that it's not 100% link, that it's not an absolute, but it's a very solid link, and it's probably much more of a link than anything else. And by doing that, usually policymakers can kind of come to the conclusions that you agree. This is one of them I like, and I use this quite a bit when I talk about biotechnology, because now we are learning how to make maggots. But there was a time that within our mind we could make all sorts of gauze that do this, that, and the other thing. But now we're even getting bright enough to make animals and create things. So we are very inventive, very smart. Legislators are just like scientists. They're human too. They take data and they interpret it and they make their best decision possible. There's really not much difference between the two. It's just being able to make sure that they get the solid information and they don't misuse science to their advantage. Thank you. Oh, questions. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I